after we made the agenda that basically changed every aspect of the agenda. So, made it pretty crazy.
I'm sorry.
Well, that is fine. So, item 2 is approval of the minutes, but we don't have a quorum, so we can't approve the minutes, but you guys all have the minutes. And we only have actual written minutes because we had every possible audio failure at the last meeting where we finished up the hearing for Phil Check's property. So I wrote up minutes. We don't have any audio, so that would be the record for that hearing in addition to the final decision and order and the stuff relating to that application. So you guys can review that, and then it'll be in your packet for the next meeting. It was supposed to be decided at the February meeting that was then canceled because we got snow, and then the March meeting, we just couldn't get enough stuff together to make the meeting happen. A big part of the meeting was going to be training from Megan, and she couldn't make the last meeting. And then we were going to do training before the meeting and then start the meeting afterwards, but then we weren't sure how many people would come, so we decided to start the meeting early. And then we still didn't have enough for a quorum, so we kind of skipped through, and she just did a brief training, and then she'll be available to follow up if you want to see more of that. So I'm going to move some stuff around because we have Katie here from Northwest Vernacular, who is from our consulting firm that's doing our walking tour map. And her and I have gone back and forth a ton on various drafts and all the way down to like color choices and symbology, and I like circles and not diamonds and that kind of stuff. And so we've come up with a walking tour map, and some of our thought process was that the current map has almost 80 stops, and nobody's going to do that in a lunch hour or on a Saturday morning before or right after church or whatever. It's a whole day event to do that walking tour. So we condensed it down to just the district. Then we condensed it even further to 2 different architectural styles, so you can see a specific type of style. And then we also have some stops on the walking tour map currently that don't really fit into those 2 styles. So we do have a little black dot for those with a number, and we'll have information on those. However, they're not specific stops on the walking tour. So you can go through the write-up of each of the properties if you're curious about a particular lot or something like that, or if you're walking on the walking tour and you see a house that you like a lot and you want to know some more about it, we have that. We are only doing the spots within the district, with the exception of the school. And then I will let Katie talk about some of the stuff that she's done. And if you guys have any questions, we're both here for that.
Great. Well, I'm Katie. Nice to meet all of you. So in putting together this map, I thought, you guys, as Jennifer said, you have a lot of properties that are highlighted and documented, which is fantastic for a historic district, and that you have names for all of them and dates of construction. That's fantastic. But just thinking through as a user, someone who might go on an architectural walking tour, you only have so much kind of steam and energy to get through a tour. And typically, you don't want every single house on the block to be included because people get bored. And especially in a neighborhood where, you know, there might be houses that look similar, why stop there? Unless there's a really compelling reason. And so this route can change, and we can, you know, manipulate which properties we highlight. But my colleague Spencer and I, we came to town, we walked the neighborhood, and then really started to notice a pattern of, you have some really wonderful early architectural styles, so properties that are pre-1900 that are really lovely, and that you also have some nice like craftsman bungalow styles. So then when I went through and looked at properties that had integrity, so not just necessarily there's a great story here, but that looking at the property, it still reads as a historic property, hasn't been overly, you know, remodeled or new materials used. That is what we used to kind of winnow down the list. But then we still had like 20 something properties, which is still just too many for an afternoon. So that's why we started to see this divide in looking through the old walking tour between sort of those bungalow style houses and then the early architectural styles of the 1900s. So that's how we decided to organize the walking tour, and we really wanted both tours. So essentially there's two routes for the tours. We thought it was really important for them all to start and end on Willamette Falls Drive, on that kind of commercial area, because there's parking there. And then also, for example, if the city or another organization was hosting the walking tour and guiding folks around, it's a great place to gather, and then you can carry on the conversation at one of the local restaurants or something like that. Walking tours that I've been a part of, the ones that are really successful, have that kind of gathering place. And so we tried to pick areas on that Willamette Falls Drive that really made sense, and that they kind of had different starting and stopping points so that they it wasn't as confusing. So yeah, that was just kind of our thoughts with it. And we renumbered everything as well, just to keep it clear, because it's really hard to keep track of, you know, 80 properties. So we used letters for the properties highlighted in the tours, and then numbers for the other ones, and just kind of went, you know, left to right, top to bottom, to make that easy. I know a lot of the trees were highlighted in the previous brochure, and that it, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It was starting to look too cluttered. So we were trying to streamline and clean it up as much as possible. So that's why we removed some of that stuff, even though the city still has an information, so it's not like it's disappeared. So that was what we were thinking, what we came up with, and we used the city's branding guidelines for the fonts on there as well. So that's where that came from. So do you guys have any questions or thoughts?
The previous map was 3 pages in the booklet.
Yes.
You don't ever get to just open the book and then see the whole map and know where you want to go. You're constantly flipping back and forth, and then you have to turn the page 8 or 9 times to read the story about that, and then go back to the map to figure out where the next stop is. So the idea here is that it's going to be mobile friendly, so you can walk around with your cell phone and theoretically get a younger generation interested in the architectural styles. The map will be on the website. We'll have a QR code downtown where you can scan it at the beginning of each of these stops, and it'll bring up that section of the city's website. It'll bring up this PDF of the map and another PDF that will have all the descriptions labeled. So you just have to swipe back and forth to toggle rather than switch a whole bunch of pages. And as you're going through, it's really easy to just, you know, you're going to see A, B, C, and D on this tour, and you know the route, so you can just kind of scroll through on your device as you're walking, or you can print it out and use a paper version. The Main Street group, we've been working closely with them. They applied for a grant at the same time that we applied for the grant to do the same project, and none of us knew that we were all doing the same project, including the Economic Development Committee, who issued a grant to the Main Street group for the historic walking tour, that the HRV just applied for a grant to the SHPO to get, and then we all were awarded the money for the same project. So we're all working together to make all of those little bitty funds go a lot further. So the Main Street group is working on printing a brochure and making it into a booklet again. And they're also working on photos and putting up signs downtown on Willamette Falls Drive to get people into the walking tour, and then also into the businesses on Willamette Falls. So it's working with economic development, Main Street groups, the city. We've got general citizens walking around the neighborhood and checking off whether or not this house still meets the criteria, if this description is still working. So it's been a pretty big collaborative effort to try to break down some of those barriers that the city's keeping information away from citizens. So the more that all of them get involved, theoretically, the more they would support a project and then use the result when it's all done.
I just wanted to join the conversation and say my name's Terry Cummings, council liaison, and I joined at 10 after 7. That's all. Thanks.
So I have a couple of questions just for clarification on the map.
Okay.
I see some dots. I see numbers. I see letters in different colors. Are all these things like when you click on them, I'm guessing, and they'll more information will come up?
No, it's a static map. So that was what the contract was for, is not to be an interactive map. It would just be one that is a PDF that's loaded to the city website, and that can be easily printed out. So the colors and numbers differentiate between the different tour types. So the early 20th century tour, or the early architectural style tour, and then the 20th century architectural tour. And then the little black dots are just all the other properties that they have good information on.
Okay, so the ones that are in, the lettered ones are the ones that are on part of the tour?
Yes.
So in the directive, was there what story are we trying to tell in this? Are we trying to talk about, when we got the National Register for the neighborhood, we didn't get it on architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest, and I have a historic home, we are not that significant in architecture. It's a working class town. It was, you know, pretty blue collar. Our construction is pretty basic when you talk, you know, Queen Anne and all that stuff. We're not on the high end of that stuff. So most of these properties are not going to be architecturally significant, yet we're talking all about architectural style in the breakdown. When in the past tour, by really told the story of the neighborhood, of who was living in the house, because the house may not be significant at all, but things like, you know, we have on the corner of 6th and 13th, that's Sheriff Mass's house. That's significant because the sheriff of Clackamas County in multiple years, multiple times, lived in that house, yet it's not on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And over again, you get people who walk by that house and go, wow, what's that house? And it has a sign that says Sheriff Mass's house, but most people go, what does that mean? Who is he? And then it'll be missed now on the new tour. It'll just be, and there's a house.
It'll have the same story that's in the walking tour now. It just won't be an architectural stop on the tour.
Okay, so there will be a write-up of those houses that are not listed.
Every property will have the write-up with each story, just like the original map. It's just that the original map was not... you can't use that map and do a small tour. So we just kind of try to basically get one tour that you could do in 25 minutes, another tour that you could do in 25 minutes, and then along the way you see these houses that do have signs and stuff, and they may not fit in the two architectural styles, but you'll still be able to see the story behind that house.
And maybe we can rename that, the names of those tours a little bit, too. Because our point of it was not to focus that these are high-style houses necessarily, but that they're relatively intact houses. Because when we were walking the neighborhood and looking at the brochure, there were houses that had this huge write-up on the story, and then we'd get to the house and we're like, what? It didn't match up in terms of, which I get that social history is really important, and I think that's what's great about having all that information still gathered so people can look for that. But when you're looking for, you know, an hour-long tour that you want to do on your own, it's visual because it's not guided by someone, but you still have the option of it, someone doing a guided tour and telling those stories. But if you're just wanting quick visitors on their lunch to like go walk in the neighborhood, look at it, it has to be visually interesting because they're not going to take the time to learn all that information. And so we were trying to find the balance between the wealth of information that you guys have on this neighborhood and how do you put together something that's quick and easy for people to come and look at and get interested in the neighborhood to maybe then do additional research to learn more about it.
So the contract was just for a static map, but in theory, with Grant Cycles coming, we could take this map and make it more interactive because we'll have the spreadsheet with all of the criteria that corresponds to all of these stops, and then we have the map, and you could make it more of an interactive map. Just $2,700 does not get you an interactive web map.
Yeah. One of the other challenges I've noticed in the neighborhood, I mean, I know we have a lack of sidewalk already. Sending them down Fifth Avenue, there's no sidewalk on all of Fifth Avenue. So you're basically sending them right down, smack down the middle of the street on certain parts of it, of the tour.
That was also an issue with the previous tour as well. There were a lot of areas that didn't have sidewalks. So that is part of why we cut in a little bit more instead of
I guess if you
sending
walk on
them all the way
street,
down.
Right,
yeah. That was a challenge because of the sidewalks. Luckily, it's not a super like arterial route where there's tons of traffic.
It gives you an experience.
Yeah. But if you're noticing an area, I mean, if there's a property there that really does need to be looked at, that is one thing. But if the routes looking like there's a real issue where we might need to, because we were also dealing with the grade change, so how to get people down so that they're not hiking straight back up the hill. But if there's a way to tweak this a little bit that you think kind of meets both of those needs.
One suggestion I'm just going to throw in is that you're completely avoiding 6th Avenue between 12th and 13th. While there's about at least 5 or 6 houses along there that are architecturally significant and restored back to significance, including number 8 on your map and number 14 and 15, which are twin houses.
Okay.
Both of those are restored. And number 9 is exactly the same as it was back in, that was built in 1907. So that was a little bit later. But there's nothing along Willamette Falls Drive between 13th and 12th that is historic, besides the one that you have right there, K. That is historic. But everything else there has been replaced.
So instead of going, past 6th Avenue, continuing up 12th Street to Willamette Falls, doing a loop back onto 6th Avenue and then up, that would be...
That's just a suggestion.
No, that's an easy... These are all really easy changes to make. That makes sense. You guys live here. You know that better than I do, so...
You're talking about going this way and then down?
Right here on the green one, instead of going up here, because right there, there's nothing that's historic in that
area. So you'd go this way?
Yeah, and then you can see all those. There's at least a bunch of houses in there that are historic.
Do you think that there's... Because we're still trying to keep the number reasonable of those houses and those... I know we have L and U that are highlighted. Is there one or two more that you think would be worthwhile?
I would actually replace L because actually now L, this is early, right? L, is from 1910.
Yes, okay.
So that's technically 20th century.
Yeah, so...
But 13 is from 1894, 1895 range. And so is 7, believe it or not. It's a boring box style, but it is an older house, as well as 8 is also a really nice example of 1890s architecture.
Okay, great.
Those are. And then 14 and 15 are also, but those don't look as, they look more common. Okay. They're more like 7, 14, and 15 all kind of look the same. Although architecturally what's neat about 14 and 15 is you can see the diamond window, which is kind of significant in the neighborhood because that's all one builder. It's Rasmussen built all those houses with the diamond. That was just kind of his trademark.
Signature.
And you can see them really clearly on 14 and 15 because they're twin houses that are mirrored of each other.
Oh, nice.
They're identical mirrored houses. One's brown, one's blue. But when you look at them, you go, oh, they're exactly the same, just the front doors are on the opposite side. Mirror. And then the diamonds are on the opposite side.
Okay, great.
I need you for your expertise.
I've done these two. I've led the tour many, many, many times. So you're about right. About a block and a half is about what you can get in an hour.
It's so funny too, just because it's like you want to cover as much territory, but then it's exhausting. You get caught up and people's attention span wander. So it's trying to balance that information with attention span. That's always the trick with walking tours.
Now, Fifth is hard between 14th and 13th just because there's great houses on the corners, but then there's not much in the middle historic. It's all, I mean, actually the other problem with between 5th and between 14th and 13th, there's a couple of driveways that face out to the street, which aren't the beautiful thing to look at. But 4th is a great idea because they got some nice houses in that area, and they're in the middle of being restored, a few of them too. It's tough going up 12th because the sidewalks are so sketchy in that part of the neighborhood. But
well, sometime last fall we did have Lance present his streetscape for the historic district. So in theory, sidewalks are coming.
Yeah.
I just don't know when.
Well, 12th has sidewalks. It's just
part of his design had new sidewalks on 12th and all the way over to 15th, and then everything in between. That also include planting strips and dry wells for rainwater, since a lot of water issues happen down that way due to grade and
think that the registry went all the way to 15th. I thought the historic registry, National Historic Registry boundary, stopped at 14th. Am I wrong on that?
So no, it goes all the way to 15th.
The National Historic Registry does?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are, we worked with the city's GIS staff and pulled their parcel data and the boundaries for both the city and the National Register District to make sure that was all lined up correctly.
Now, and I don't know if you know this, but the letter D you have on here is a great, beautiful house, but it is completely restored. That is not original in any way.
Okay.
I mean, it's restored back to a beautiful craftsman style, but that's not what it was 10 years ago.
That's okay. Is it? Would you say that it...
They made it craftsman.
Was it not originally craftsman?
It was not as craftsman as it is. You'd have to look at some of the older pictures. I mean, it is a craftsman-style home. It was built in the period of craftsman.
They embellished.
But it, yeah, they embellished it and made it.
Which house is it?
The one right across the street from Jamie's.
What number?
It's now D.
Okay.
It's beautiful. They did a great job restoring it, but
sure.
When you look at the old pictures, it didn't look
that good. Okay. Yeah, I think, well, I went off of the information that was in the old walking tour. Like, I did it. We walked through it really quickly, checked off things that seemed good from the street, and then I went back and I looked at those that I highlighted with information, and it said that it was an art, that that's what it was.
It's a craftsman style.
That it was what it was constructed in. So
yeah, it was totally craft. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that they made it even better with their restoration.
They added some details that weren't there originally.
Yeah, I mean, they made it look what a craftsman should look like.
Okay.
Before it used to be painted like this weird lime yellow for years, for like 60 years it was lime yellow, and that's not craftsman. They put clapboards on the side, which is not craftsman. They peeled those off and put on shingles, which is craftsman style. So they did a good job with the restoration. It was beautiful.
So we've got some time. If you guys sleep on it, mark it up, and you've got some revisions or some suggestions, you can email those to me by our next meeting, and if I don't hear from you, then theoretically you will see the final map by the next meeting. And all of the write-up about each property that will accompany the map, but they're contracted to make the map, and then I get to match the grant with staff time by writing all of that stuff up and making the website functional. Right now you have to search the website for the map and any information about the historic walking tour, and it's not super easy to find. It's like the fourth link after you search historic Willamette walking tour. on the city site, so we're going to have a link on the main page for historic stuff, and then we're going to have an entire page devoted to just the historic Willamette District, because we've got a whole bunch of stuff devoted to the Willamette Neighborhood Association, and when you click on the historic page now, it takes you to the Willamette Neighborhood Association, which is great, but that goes all the way up north, and this is the only historic stuff, so we're going to have just a total historic overhaul, and then it'll also have the Historic Review Board's page linked to that, too. So if people want to know the process or come to a meeting or something, then they can get that information as well.
So I have another question. Just design style-wise, I guess I'm getting old, but it looks small to me. Like, it's hard for me to see. And I'm wondering why we have 8th on there and 11th. I get it maybe just for context to figure out where they're at, but does this all have to be, I mean, can't we zoom in on that and bring it out and make it so cool? I'm just feeling wanting like this. I want to swipe and make it zoom in.
Yeah, I feel like that too.
I don't need that much. Give me that much right there. And I would center it up. I mean, if it was my phone, I'd be like, turn it, make it centered up. I don't care if it's north or south, because I'm not going to have a compass out there going, am I north?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, oh, I'm on 12th. I'm right there, and boom.
Yeah, that's an easy change.
Yeah, to delete out those bordering blocks and keep the ones where the school's at.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
do you want it skewed so that north is not up, that it's on? Because we went back and forth on that.
Yeah,
because there is something to be said about the neighborhood being laid out in relationship to the river, and that being where that comes from.
Right.
And this topography versus, you know, the cardinal directions. But if you guys want it skewed, that's, we can do that.
It would
as
be
well.
Nice to say to the river somewhere on it.
Right.
Just so that people know where the river is relative to the map.
That's, yeah, 12 would be straight down to the river.
Because that is significant.
It's funny because all the maps have always been skewed that way, but there's no reason why you have to. I mean,
most people don't recognize north.
Right, exactly, yeah. No clue where north is. Like, oh, it's that way?
So, a non-participant can mention the color scheme is a little off-putting. I know it tends to say we're historic, but I can't discern from that little tiny drawing which color is which between 20th century and 19th century. They're too close in color.
I'm seeing that in the, because I did everything digitally.
Yeah, much brighter there.
And yeah, no, it looks, so we can do a couple scaling of the colors and then printing to make sure, because it will be on the screen, so we want it to be good for the screen and printing. So
also by blowing that up a little bit,
that'll
help.
It'll help that
with the scale being larger.
They're still really close.
Yeah. So I can tweak the colors.
But I don't have a vote in this. I'm here for something else.
All right. Well, like I said, if you've got any more suggestions, just shoot me an email and I can forward those on. So, to put CDC Chapter 25 discussions further down the agenda slightly, because we don't have a quorum and we can't make any recommendations tonight, take the chapters home that I printed out, the pages home that I printed out, mark it up. We're working on a code cleanup as it is, and if there are simple cleanups, not policy decisions, so not reinterpreting the code or that sort of thing, like if there's typos or references that are inaccurate, if it's not organized the way that it should be, if we've got design stuff mixed in with setback stuff, that kind of thing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
If we've got things out of order, maybe that would be a good thing to tweak. One other thing that somebody also noted was there used to be language about painting historic structures on the Willamette Falls Drive, and that used to be an exempted land use, and now it's part of the land use process, so there's a type 1 design review. So I was going to get you guys all that language that was taken out to see if you guys were interested in putting it back in, so it works out that we don't have a quorum to make that decision, so that you guys can see that language. So that'll all be going out in an email along with the reminder about the walking tour map. So if you guys have any questions, we can go over that later on. But we do have two representatives from the Willamette United Methodist Church that are working on a Diamond in the Rough grant to work on the church, and they would like to present some of their information and then theoretically get support from the board for their grant. So, take it away.
My name is Deborah Neal. I'm an architect. I work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as an architect, and I've been here about a year and a half in this area. I'm an East Coaster, Southern, but I've never lived in the Pacific Northwest. It's an extraordinarily beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And I came here and looked for a church to attend and went up Willamette Falls Drive and was enchanted by the historic nature of the village and the area behind it, and I found this church in sad shape. Mm-hmm. And my first impression about the church was, where's the front door? How do you get in here? And then I went into the now 2000-something edition, which has the elevator, the famous elevator edition, and in there was a photograph of the original church. The old Methodist cross with the corner tower and entry that you see all over the country. And I thought, I just came from a church like that in Tennessee. That's what I attended. And it's still original. It still has the wood pews and the big iron rods to keep it from falling down, and it's on an angle like that. And I thought, this church has really suffered. And as an architect, the first thing I did was make myself a little unpopular by saying, I don't know how people know how to come in. How is anybody going to come in this church? People from AA don't even know how to come in. The people who use a food pantry are questioning how they come in. The scouts are using the back door when they do their annual thing. When we had our Christmas pop-up bazaar, nobody knew which door to come in. It's kind of crazy. So we need to get our act together, and we need to get it together pretty soon, because all the churches in the U.S. are suffering from lack of attendance, unless they're a new wave church, and then they come and go. But we're very, you know, we come from a long history, and the building has a long history. And if we don't do something, we're going to lose the building. And it's one of six commercial street structures left in the town. And, you know, Jody has been coaching me. From her point of view, you know, with her interests in the Main Street project and what's going on, she has been assisting me, and she helped me find this Diamonds in the Rough grant. So, of course, I'm swimming upstream like the salmon, and there are all kinds of sea lions out there grabbing at me, because we don't have the money to take this back to where it should be. So we have to take it piece by piece. And our first step is the Diamonds in the Rough, which requires us to have $20,000 of our money to match the $20,000 that they will provide. And it has to be devoted to street facade work. So, naturally, that's what we're doing, that's what we're applying for now, and we'd really like some support from our community in written form to go with our grant application. It's very important for us to start to get this ball rolling so that we can go to the next step and the next step.
Isn't the city in the process of its grant,
Main Street
community grants, right? I'm not sure where we are in the process, but I thought I heard that was advertised recently.
I don't know.
The community grants were due 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Well, I know that there's also been times when there weren't that many applications and that things were considered. What I do think I know, sometimes I don't know what I know, but I don't...
So which community?
We have not had that decision yet. That has not been before the council yet.
Okay.
The community grant. You can look on the website, or maybe Jody will be able to help you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a dollar limit on that one?
Usually, now are you a nonprofit?
Yes,
okay.
We're a church.
You need to be a nonprofit. Yeah. And Well, I don't know if the church, if a religious organization would necessarily be allowed, because you know, what is it? I want to say
church and state.
So here's the angle that I'm shooting for. I want to go back in history to a time when the church looked like it used to look.
Yeah.
So if you remember any of you from the 1950s, before, well, just when they took the stairs off the front and they put that new entry in with the brick. Not that I like the brick, but it is still historic in its time and place.
Yeah.
The brick entry is probably as far back as I can go in time.
Yeah.
Because everything else is impossible to recreate. I can't take it down to one story. And I can't put the stairs on the outside because of the Main Street.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'm not going to begin to try to say that I know anything about
accuracy.
The legal ramifications about, I want to say, the Constitution number 14. But,
so churches do qualify for federal grants in the historic vein.
That's the question, is if this is for a historical preservation purpose, could probably most likely be interpreted differently, but I don't know.
Yes.
All I know is that we're in that process, and different organizations, they tell you what the needs are and what it's for, and then there's, you know, there needs to be some verification if the funds are dispersed that you show that you spent them according to what you know it was intended.
So let me walk you through then what I think we're going to do as a process, and there are times when it's historic and there are times when it's just efficient. So our most immediate need is to take the shed down that's around the bell tower, remove it out of the way so we can see the windows and see the facade of the church. So step one is to remove the shed, leave the bell tower.
You mean like the breezeway?
The porte cochere.
Okay.
Lack of a better term. The bell tower itself, the structure of the bell tower is actually historic. It goes back in a period of time to the 80s, but it's going to go eventually too. But for now, we want to take that shed down and bring the street facade back. So we have beautiful windows that face the street and face the side street. We have a beautiful garden that nobody can see.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to bring that garden back into the Main Street effort.
Mm-hmm.
To make a transition between the Main Street and the neighborhood behind. I mean, we have the Meteor replica garden also right now, and we want to take that hedge down because it's so high you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the Meteor and you can't see the church behind it. Mm-hmm. So the step-by-step process is to take away the offensive
mm-hmm.
as much as possible, and then to go back to that little dormer. You see the dormer there? Above the food
right there.
Okay,
entrance.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that. We're going to restore that because it is historic. And behind it, you'll see a small tower. That was the original tower in the church. And my dream is to go back to the original church tower at some point in time and reconstruct it in place and put the bell back over the church. And that's as far as I can go with restoring historic detail. What I have to do outside of the original church is I have to take the addition that was done in the 2006-2009 period and make it more historically detailed. It is horribly detailed. It has no detail.
Okay.
It has no character.
Okay.
It is. They were forced, I think, by someone to put the historic windows up in the light tower above it. So there are three or four historic windows that were relocated into the building, and that's the extent of the history that was applied to the design. So I want to take detailing from the original design of the building and re-implement it back into that building, but no grant will help me with that because there's no historic basis for it. All I'm trying to do is to honor the history of the building that it's attached to. And I won't overdo it. I mean, it's going to be pretty straightforward, basic stuff. But to start with, removing the shed, repairing the dormer, addressing the damage that's happening to the remaining bell tower, and making the entryway a little more user-friendly and still maintaining its appearance are my goals for this phase. And I think within my $40,000, that's doable. So I've written up a grant application. It's due May 9th. It's all online. And I'm going to ask for a letter to support the beginning of our journey as we go down this path. And I want to point out two really important things. One, we have 5 AA groups that meet in our church.
3 AA groups.
That meet 5 times?
One meets twice a week and the others meet one a week.
Okay.
Once a week.
And they meet in our building. We have the food pantry that operates and is open on Thursdays, but they're busy there many other times. They've taken over our entire community room in the lower level and all the Sunday school rooms behind it to store food and to organize for when they do the distributions. So we aren't just a church anymore. We're a community building. And then when we have the summer fair on Wednesdays, we open our building for people to use the bathrooms because we have 3 of them and they're clean and we maintain them and they're to code. And so we can, and we even have an elevator so people can use them. And then in the winter when we had our winter carnival, we had a pop-up bazaar there so that people could stay in town and do more than just wait for the sleigh rides at night, mm-hmm. the horse carriage rides. There was something else to do during the day after the parade. We participated in the parade. We throw candy at people. But we invited people into the church to come in and browse the crafts that were there. So we aren't just a church anymore. We're a part of our community. And we are struggling with how to get the community part of us, to support us, to help us make this journey, because we're a very small congregation. And we're not growing. We're static at this time. And we don't have an entrance that anybody can find, so we're not going to grow until we become more welcoming. But we're also not going to grow until our community is sharing in the journey with us. And so we need not just your letter, but also for you to talk about us, to support us, to talk about the fact that we are trying to do the right thing. That we too long let this building deteriorate, and we can't lose it. We cannot lose this architectural piece of the history of this town. It's pretty significant. It's big, and it's pretty attractive in many ways, but it's falling apart.
Well, it's very visible, and it's part of the Main Street. It's definitely...
It's going to need over $300,000 of maintenance. Yeah. It's been deferred over the years.
Right.
The roof leaks, the siding, boards, yeah. Some of them need to be replaced, not just scraped and repainted, but actually replaced. Yeah. The trim around the windows is rotting. I mean, we have deterioration that if we don't address it soon, we're going to lose this building. And I say that to my congregation, and they're probably not as savvy as you are as to what that means. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see us lose this building. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm here because I feel very passionate about that. I don't have all the skills I need to blend in with the community. I don't know anybody in the community. I'm too new here. I'm still trying to find contractors to give me pricing to do this phase. So if you know of a contractor who's good at this, give me their name so that I can call them up and ask them for an estimate.
So can I make a couple of suggestions for you?
Sure. I'm
first, the matching fund portion.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware, but I'm the vice president of the Historical Society, and I've been to all the training for the grants this last year. Volunteer hours, every cent per second you spend mm-hmm. counts toward that.
I've tracked
$20,000.
I've tracked mm-hmm. It's
so,
over $6,000 so far.
Good, yeah. So keep that in mind, as well as any in-kind donations you get if you get an architect to give you a deal on their...
I am an architect.
Well, your time
yeah,
doing that, it's part of that as well. And mm-hmm. you get that at the I think it's $25 an hour right now is the rate
okay.
that they go on that one, which shocked me on that
it's
one.
Not very much.
Yeah. But that's your matching fund portion, as well as you may want to go to the Neighborhood Association, if you have not yet. That is the Willamette Neighborhood Association meetings. You went to their meeting, okay.
Yeah.
And then you may also want to go to the Historical Society meeting and make a pitch to them, because they have a very, very, very large volunteer base, over 400 members at this point.
When do they meet?
This Thursday. It's always the third Thursday. Mm-hmm. Right? Thursday.
Do you know where they meet?
At the Willamette Fire Station.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you.
Roger Shepherd is the president. And you can just ask Roger to get on the agenda. I'm not going to this week's meeting, but Roger can just sneak you in there. It's always open to the public. But I would strongly suggest that, because that'll also help when you put in your grant, because they want to see that you've got lots of partners on the grants. And so that's another one that would...
I've been writing you all down as you all are talking. Okay.
But great, Roger, you can probably get a letter from them. And then the neighborhood, okay. Neighborhood Association, I would ask for support from them.
Okay.
And of course, Main Street is a great one to get.
Yes.
So on other independent endeavors to preserve historic structures by outside groups, they've written up a letter and then given it to the chair of the HRB.
You'd like us to draft the letter?
And then send it in a Word document, because there's going to be some things that we're not going to be able to say we fully support, because there is a land use process for you to go through this. Mm-hmm. So we can say that we support restoring the structure. However, the way you do that will be scrutinized through the land use process.
Mm-hmm.
So I already have to send a whole bunch of information to them this mm-hmm. week. So if you get the letter to me, I can put it in that packet and everybody can review it. And it's not something that needs to go through a motion and have a formal process for. If the chair agrees and the vice chair agrees and everybody else has their suggestions in, then we can send the letter off. The last one didn't even get that much attention by the board. I believe it just went to the chair and the vice chair, and the chair signed it and it went off to council, and the first time I saw it was when the council packet came out. So
you are jarnold@westlandoregon.gov?
Yes.
Okay. And your deadline for receiving that is Thursday also?
We work on Friday this week, so okay. I'm here until 4:30 on Friday. And then I'm also that crazy staff member that checks email on the weekend, so if I get it, I can forward it on.
Okay.
There's a lot of
and you probably could use that same letter for the Historical Society, because they're going to want the same thing. I bet the Neighborhood Association is going to want the same thing, too.
So that would go to Roger Shepherd?
Yep.
I'm not great with names. I'm much more visual than that. What is your name, please?
Danny Schreiber. So I work with Roger. I'm the VP of that group. And then you may also want, for funding wise, there's other groups like the Rotary and the Lions Club, and they love funding those kind of things.
Yeah,
they're not big money. You're not going
to
get.
I used to be a Rotary member back in Alabama, or actually Maryland too. But yeah,
every penny of those.
Every penny.
Yeah,
we are our hands are out.
Yeah,
and it is for a really good cause, and I think. We're not just a church. There are like 40 of us. So the membership in the congregation is significant as the church, but the building itself is significant as part of the community. And that's what I need to keep emphasizing to everyone.
Well, and Jody may have told you this, but you know, back in 1909, it was the community that built the church.
Yes, it was.
It was all volunteer effort, and the neighbors all came together to build a church because they didn't want to pay the fee for the toll to go over on the trolley anymore.
Yes.
So it was did
and it
before.
Stopped right in front of the church, which was so convenient. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Now, have you reached out to the Westland Tidings yet?
Have I?
Patrick Millay at the West Millay at the Westland Tidings. You should write to Patrick right away. They love history, and they will easily put a piece in the Tidings for you about your effort to try to restore the church.
Okay.
And Patrick's always looking for good stories, and there's some great pictures from long ago, so he can have the before and afters.
You know, these are really wonderful suggestions. Look at me, I'm working full time. I have until Thursday to accomplish all these things. And you must think I'm a miracle worker. Because
yes.
I don't feel like one right now, but I have a full plate. A full plate. So anytime something comes to you, actually, if they could go through you and you could communicate to me any of these ideas, that makes it more efficient. It's always good to have one point of contact. And I think you all are really busy too.
And I'll help you. I'll reach out to Roger and also reach out to Patrick. I talk with Patrick weekly. He's always asking for story ideas, so wonderful. I'll mention them
to him. You did seem very knowledgeable about that.
But yeah, if I can have you, do you have a card or your contact information?
No, I don't have a card. The federal government doesn't give us business cards anymore.
And I don't think I've got one.
Or just your contact information is fine.
My name is Kathy Boyes, and I'm the pastor of the church.
Oh, right.
So I'm there Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Perfect.
My last name is spelled B-O-Y-E-S.
Good, yep.
And my cell phone number is 971-322-6439. And I'll let Deborah give you her information.
I'll give you my cell. It's 931-255-9032. And I did bring, these are in-process drawings, and I plotted them really quickly, so the color's off. But you can see from my notes that the demolition is minor. The correction to codes and entrances is significant. But really, when this shed comes down, it's going to be night and day.
Sure.
And then we better get that prettier. We better start painting it and get rid of the gray trim. One of our parishioners was so proud of. I'm like, oh. You know how it is. It's a community. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate your concern and your attention to our little project. And any support you can give us is
have you reached out to the neighbors on 6th and 5th and stuff at all over the way?
Not yet.
Okay, because I would do just a nice little letter and then drop it on everyone's porches. Because I've just heard people talk in the neighborhood saying, oh, I wish they'd do something with the church. I wish they...
Wouldn't it be nice if the potholes weren't in the drive outside of our door?
Well, we've got a
and if you don't have to jump a lake to get to the sidewalk, it's like,
but just, you may just want to reach out to us because the neighbors may volunteer to help out.
Yeah,
that's great.
They park there.
Yeah, Jody knows. I mean, I'm talking about Jody Carson. Awesome. So yeah. Jody knows, and if you just could alert everybody.
And Noel has been really helpful, too.
Okay.
So thank you for all your input. I appreciate it. Anything else? Anyone have any questions? I can leave these or not. They've been done at a very small scale. I haven't even printed them at this scale, so they're made to be on 11 by 17. Let's see.
So. Thank you. The next agenda item would be business from the board. Does anybody have anything?
Yes.
Report from staff. The only other thing that I would say is that our next meeting is scheduled for election day. So if that does not work, I already know that Christine can't make it. We can always schedule a special meeting or push it a week out or have it a week ahead of time. We've got space available in the city, so we don't have to go to the community center to do that, but if schedules are conflicting that day, then we can
Architects.
Roughly what pencils. Day are you thinking?
Well, it comes out
it's in May.
To...
Thank you.
Yeah. So it would be the 15th. And then... We've also the 8th and the 22nd, which I don't think that we have. I mean, we haven't had any pre-apps for land use cases, so you wouldn't have a hearing that month. And if this project comes to fruition, you guys will have an update on that letter. She gets me a letter, and then I send it off to you guys and send it off to the grant. So that would be the update. And we don't have anything other than the walking tour map and a brief update, then it should be a very, very quick meeting. Or we could postpone it.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes up between now and then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, no direction there.
Yeah, it's all right.
So did you say you are meeting?
So far we're going to hold the meeting on the
15th.
If anything comes up between now and then from other members, I'll keep you guys all posted.
Okay.
And then any questions about the Chapter 25 stuff? for any changes. Eventually, we're going to be redoing Chapter 58, which is the commercial design district. Staff's already trying to figure out the down-the-line process of how to make one not necessarily trump the other, but at least on certain criteria, make it clear what is applied when. Because I know the last time we had a building go in on Willamette Falls Drive, when it was at the historic review board's phase, it was very clear because you guys were looking at architectural and design standards and sizing and that sort of thing. And when I went to the Planning Commission didn't know if they're supposed to apply the regular design to design chapter or the historic design chapter, and then where do they trump you guys as a board, and where do you trump them as a board, and there was just a lot of confusion of whose jurisdiction is what code criteria, and it ended up passing, but at the end of that meeting, they suggested that some sort of revision be made. I don't think that particular revision made it into their yearly docket and onto code changes, but that's the down-the-line vision where we will eventually make it clearer. There's not a lot of vacant space to put a new building, so I think we've got some time to work it out. And realistically, by the time we get it done, we won't have any space, and then we won't ever use it again. So you never know. We've been doing a lot of like minor modifications with buildings down there, like changing out a window for a door and painting, and then some people are just changing out windows and repainting and doing a whole bunch of stuff, and I find out about it when somebody gives me a call and says, what land use case was that? And I had no idea that it happened. And, luckily, everything was like for like, aside from the paint color. But the process is so confusing that people are going around the process. So we're trying to make the process clear and concise so that people don't steer away from the process and follow through with everything. So, with that being said, if there are not any other questions, we can adjourn.